America and the world. This is Mark Dan, Cost America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I have a number of things to discuss in the first hour of the show this morning, and then we'll be talking to Ruzbeh Farhanpour of an organization called Mars Por Gohar, that, as I understand it, is Persian for the Glorious Frontiers Party. And Mr. Farhanpour is going to be speaking with us, coming to us live from Los Angeles at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Speaking about the Iranian student protests of the summer of 1999 in Tehran, of which he was a part, and what he sees going on in all the years since in regard to Iranian political freedoms in that country, as well as the state of some of the expatriate organizations that presently oppose the current regime in Tehran, of which Mr. Farhanpour is one. And I think as we speak with him, there will be a couple of things that must be underscored here. One is that there is a bit of a language barrier with Ruzbeh. He's very understandable, but by his own admission, his English is not as great as he would like for it to be. But he has such a personally interesting story that I think we can overcome that if we're careful and patient and so forth in our exchange this morning, getting at the bottom of what caused him ultimately to come to the United States. What he has been doing to make a living in this country, in the L.A. area, since arrival in the U.S. He was an attorney in Iran and has had a very, very different life since he's been in Southern California. I also think talking with him will underscore the fact that there is a tremendous diversity in the Iranian expatriate political scene that's a little bit difficult for those of us in the American community and in the West generally to get a hold of. This is a very complicated topic as we begin to dissect the various shades of political opinion among Iranians that goes all the way from support for the IRI regime to a most diverse coalition of people who oppose that present government, but who cannot necessarily agree with one another on what the best future of Iran is or should hold. And talking with Ruzbeh Farhanpour of Mars Por Gohar is going to be, I think, a very, very interesting conversation in approximately 1 hour from now. You can find that website, his website, at MarzPorGohar, Mars with an E, Marz, Por, P-O-R, Gohar, G-O-H-A-R, MarzPorGohar.org. And again, at 8 o'clock this morning, we'll be chatting with him. You know, there are some very, very interesting things going on in this country in relationship to free speech. There is a most disturbing thing that I have just uncovered this morning from AlJazeera.info. Dr. Hassan al-Najjar has made a decision to get off of the Internet air, it seems, in regard to the webpage that he has been editing from Dalton, Georgia, in this country. If you go to AlJazeera.info, you will see what I'm talking about. He has written a letter which indicates that for a variety of personal reasons, he has made a decision not to continue with what he's been up to in recent years. I don't know how long he will stay off the air. I don't know if this is an irrevocable decision or if at a future time he will come back to us. I certainly hope that he does, because AlJazeera.info, in my view, has been one of the news sites accessible to Americans that has been giving us a very needed alternative to what obviously has been going on with the Zionist-controlled corporate media in this country. But if you go to AlJazeera.info, you will read the following notice. Dear readers, AlJazeera.info has been a U.S. independent forum promoting peace between the U.S. and the Arab and Muslim worlds and between Israelis and Palestinians for the last 5 years. Some people apparently neither like peace nor tolerate the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. They have not stopped attacks on Al Jazeera, its editor, its contributors, and authors. What's new this time is that those who oppose AlJazeera.info have been orchestrating a campaign against its editor personally. A letter-writing campaign has been going on since March 22, 2007, targeting officials of the institution he works with, in addition to a continuous smearing internet and media campaign against him personally. I have concluded that it's not safe for me anymore to continue editing AlJazeera.info in this atmosphere of intimidation. We will continue with this letter from Hassan El-Najjar of AlJazeera.info, and Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Rizbeh Farhanpour of Mars Porgohar will join us at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
From San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is the day after Easter Sunday, and we're looking forward to covering all kinds of things for you in the days ahead. This morning at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, or Central Time, I should say, we will be talking with Rizbeh Farhanpour of Mars Porgohar. That is an Iranian organization that is called the Glorious Frontiers Party. If you go to marsporgohar.org, MarzePorgohar, marsporgohar.org, you will find a very, very interesting list of English language articles that give you some semblance of an idea as to the diversity of opinion within the Iranian expatriate community. and forces as well within Iran who oppose the present regime in that country, who do not necessarily see eye to eye on what should follow it, if there is at any point in the history of that country going to be a so-called regime change. We'll be talking with Ruzbeh Farhanpour this morning at right around 8 o'clock Central Time, and we'll see what he has to say in regard to the past and the present and the future as it pertains to the country of Iran. Back then to something going on right in this country. Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, the editor of AlJazeera.info, has concluded that he needs to stay off of the Internet for a time in regard to discussing this Arab-Israeli conflict and American foreign policy in the Middle East. He indicates that there has been, since March the 22nd, a campaign not only against Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, which has been going on for a long time, but he indicates that since March the 22nd, officials of the institution he works with have been targeted, for a campaign of harassment in regard to Dr. Hassan El-Najjar being involved with AlJazeera.info. So Hassan continues by saying that it's not safe for me anymore to continue editing AlJazeera.info in this atmosphere of intimidation, which abridges freedom of speech and freedom of the press. I believe that as an American citizen, I have these sacred rights as a given. I acknowledge now that I was wrong. Until I'm assured of these constitutional freedoms and rights, I'll stop editing news reports and opinion editorials about U.S. wars and the Israeli occupation of Palestine, hoping that the campaign against my employer stops. Readers and contributors, however, are welcome to continue submitting other topics. Let's be creative and try to find other subjects that promote peace in the world and serve humanity. I promise to resume publication as soon as conditions change to a more peaceful and tolerant discourse. I'm proud that Al Jazeera Forum has enabled thousands of Americans to express themselves, warning against wars and promoting peace in their country and the world. There's every reason for the U.S. and Israel to adopt peaceful resolutions to international wars, and excessive military spending have caused the U.S. to sink into an unprecedented national debt of $9 trillion, which will eat up the economic achievements of the American people if it is not addressed as soon as possible. The Israelis have been living in a continuous state of war for about 60 years for denying Palestinians their human rights, including their right for self-determination and having a state of their own. Military force does not solve problems. Occupation of Arab territories does not give security. Peace does. And this has been the message of AlJazeera.info from day one. Peace. Hassan El-Najjar, Al Jazeera editor, April the 7th, 2007. He goes on to say that this campaign seems to have been started by a person called Rusty Shackelford. And Mr. Shackelford's website can be found at the bottom of Dr. Hassan El-Najjar's piece. Rusty Shackelford, I know nothing about, but one can find his website listed at the bottom of Dr. Hassan El-Najjar's note today at aljazeera.info. This is an interesting story, one which I would like to follow up on, potentially in conjunction with Mark Lynn of the American Free Press. I have sent Mark this morning this piece from aljazeera.info where Hassan El-Najjar chronicles what has happened to him. And it will be interesting to see what, what Mark Lynn can come up with in regard to further research on this story. I trust that by Friday, when he reappears again on this show, that he and I will have a lot to say, potentially a lot more to say about this particular issue and this particular story as it relates to AlJazeera.info and its editor, Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, and this whole issue of internet freedom and political freedom in the United States. Are we as free as we think we are? We need to potentially take another look at that, I think, in regard to some of the assumptions that we have that do not always stand up to closer scrutiny in regard to some of the things that are happening. And in relation to the Hassan El-Najjar story, there are two or three other items today that I want to take a look at because I think in tandem with one another, they may present a larger composite picture. The Jerusalem Post has an interesting piece, which you can find as of the last couple of days And it's entitled Israel Tops the World in the Rate of Malicious Internet Activity. If you turn to this piece by Joshua Freeman in the Jerusalem Post, which is available online, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Joshua says that web-savvy criminals have turned Israel into the world's highest-ranking source of malicious internet activity per user, security experts have told the Jerusalem Post. From July through December of 2006, 9% of all such activity could be traced back to Israel. Taiwan came next with 8%, while Poland and the U.S. tied at 6%. According to a report issued in March by security software giant Symantec, based in Cupertino, California. For overall numbers, the U.S. still has the most malicious activity at 31%. China was second with 10%. Quote, it's hard to say exactly how many people may be involved, unquote, in making money over the Internet via activities that increasingly involve the theft of sensitive personal information, said Ricardo Resnick, vice president for marketing at Rosh Ha'ayin-based Trekkle T. Quote, it, malicious Internet activity, is definitely being carried out mostly by organized crime groups looking for new streams of revenue rather than by individuals, said Resnick, whose company represents Internet security firms. Most of the activity, according to the report, is criminal in nature and is executed by organized groups that sometimes target massive networks of users at the same time. The sophistication of Israel's Internet users and its developed high-tech sector have contributed to the high level of malicious web activity, said Ari Danone, semantic manager for the Mediterranean region. Quote, some people will use their knowledge to do good, and some people will use their knowledge for bad purposes, unquote, he said. This is the first time that Symantec has included a per capita ranking for countries in its semi-annual Internet Security Threat Report. The new Symantec figure does not mean that a high proportion of Israel's 3.7 million Internet users engage in malicious activities, cautioned Resnick. Although Israel tops the ranking in per capita Internet abuse, in absolute terms it does not even place in the top 10, lagging far behind the top-ranked USA, the world's largest web market, which accounts for 31% of the malicious activity. And as you continue reading that piece today that you can find at the Jerusalem Post, titled Israel Tops the World in Rate of Malicious Internet Activity, it begs the question in regard to malicious Internet activity in the United States, how much of that is Israel-related? I don't know, but it would make for a very, very interesting story. Potentially impossible to get to the bottom of in terms of current research going on in the United States, but it would be a fascinating thing to know the extent to which Israel-related Internet activity in this country may contribute to that 31% figure in the U.S. that we just cited. But take a look at that story. Israel tops the world in rate of malicious Internet activity. That's in the Jerusalem Post. In conjunction with the Hassan El-Najjar story, as we read it today from his post at aljazeera.info, where he has apparently been, along with his employer, the target of a very, very difficult malicious public relations campaign that has temporarily forced Dr. Hassan El-Najjar off the Internet, we see other activities going on today, another commentary that would seem to present a larger composite picture of difficulties worldwide and also in the United States when it comes to this whole question of Israel and speaking out against certain Israeli policies. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press has a new post at that website, which you can find at AmericanFreePress.net, which is entitled Domestic Hate Group Strikes Again, Temple of Anti-Zionist Rabbi Weiss Torched, JDL Arsonists Suspected of Terrorist Act. And Mark Glenn goes on to say that Naturai Karta, a group of Orthodox Jews well known to readers of American Free Press for their staunch opposition to the State of Israel and Zionism, suffered the loss of its Muncie, New York synagogue March 31st to a fire that has been ruled suspicious by authorities. In addition to the synagogue, the residence of a Naturai Karta member who occupied the top floor of the building was destroyed as well. The building was empty, and as a result, no one was injured. When we come back, we will take a further look at Mark Glenn's piece for the American Free Press entitled Domestic Hate Group, Anti-Zionist Temple Torched in New York, and consider that in conjunction with a Dr. Hassan El-Najjar story at AlJazeera.info today, indicating that he's temporarily dropping out of public commentary. Mark Dankos America will be back live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined at right around 8 o'clock this morning Central Time by Ruzbeh Foranipour of Los Angeles. He is with an organization called Mars Por Gohar, or the Glorious Frontiers Party, if you translate that from Persian into English. Ruzbeh Foranipour was a part of the July 1999 student uprisings in Tehran, which indicated that not all was well in that country with the relationship of the central government to some of the various student organizations in that country. Foranipour, of course, for very obvious reasons, has had to flee to the West. And despite the language barriers that we have, because Ruzbeh is not, by his own admission, the most fluent person in the world in English, and I know very, very little, next to no Farsi or Persian, we will, you know, have some potential difficulties getting through our two-hour broadcast today with him, but I think we can manage it, and I want to attempt to do that because his message is a very important one not simply in terms of his own personal experiences in the student uprisings of July of 1999 in Tehran, but also because speaking with him again, I think, will accentuate the incredible diversity within those Iranians in the expatriate community who oppose the present regime in Tehran, but are not necessarily always on the same page at all in regard to what should follow. And it'll be interesting to see what the head of Mars, Porgohar, has to say in regard to this whole issue of his involvement in these 1999 uprisings in Tehran, as well as what he believes should be the best possible long-term prospect for effective governance in that country. That will be at 8 o'clock this morning Central Time. We've been talking about a couple of news stories today that I think have ominous implications for the future of the freedom of the press in the United States, particularly as it relates to this whole question of Israel and Palestine and the present state of American foreign policy in the Middle East. Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, the editor of AlJazeera.info, has apparently been subjected for a very, very long period of time to a campaign of personal intimidation and harassment, which he makes reference to today at his website. What is new, however, is that as of March 22nd of this year, according to what Dr. Hassan El-Najjar has posted at his site this morning, there has been directed against his employer a very, very vicious smear campaign, a campaign of intimidation that has made life very, very difficult for his employer in Dalton, Georgia, as well as for Dr. Hassan El-Najjar himself. Dr. El-Najjar cites a specific person who is thought to be the main or one of the main orchestrators of this campaign that has been going on since the 22nd of March. And if you look at that piece at aljazeera.info and scroll down to the bottom, you will see this person's name listed as well as his website. I don't know this person. I have no idea as to who and what it is that they represent, although I have my suspicions. But I have forwarded this information to Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and have asked him to look into this in more detail in regard to how this whole thing got started and what it means. And we'll be keeping in touch with Mark ongoingly on this story. And maybe as soon as Friday, when he's back on this show helping me with news analysis, we will have something additional to tell you about this Hassan El-Najjar story and what it may mean for the future of Internet freedom, as well as freedom of the press and freedom of political expression in this country, as we have historically understood that in regard to the First Amendment. And it is in that regard that we then turn to Mark Glenn's story with the American Free Press, entitled Domestic Hate Group, Anti-Zionist Temple Torched by JDL Front Group. And as you look at what Mark Glenn has posted today at the American Free Press, he indicates that, of course, this Naturae Carta synagogue was burned to the ground in New York. And in that particular situation, it is a circumstance that since March 31st, when this happened, the New York authorities have ruled this fire suspicious. The reason the fire has been ruled suspicious by the authorities is due to the group's outspoken political positions that have attracted worldwide attention in recent years, and particularly after the recent Holocaust conference in Iran, attended by members of Naturae Carta. Since the time of that conference, organized Jewish groups, including the Dangerous and Fanatical Jewish Defense League, JDL, which is listed as a terrorist organization by the U.S. government, and the Jewish Defense Organization, JDO, have mounted campaigns to destroy the Naturae Carta group. According to the East Coast-based JDO, the members of Naturae Carta are crackpots, quote-unquote, and traitors, quote-unquote, to the Jews for, quote, helping Iranian Hitler imitator Ahmadinejad, who is planning to wipe Israel off the map with nuclear weapons, unquote. In a recent JDO intelligence report, the names, addresses, phone numbers, and other pieces of personal information concerning many NK members or Naturae Carta members were published along with suggestions, quote-unquote, by the JDO headquarters as to what actions should be taken with them. We'll be back. We'll take a further look at Mark Glenn's piece today from the American Free Press, talk a little bit more about this Hassan El-Najjar story at aljazeera.info, and also take a look at Robert Fisk's story today, The True Story of Free Speech in America at the British Independent. Mark Dankoff will return live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the best.
We're back. This is the Mark Dankoff of America, live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be joined at right around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time, by Ruzbeh Farhanpour of Marzpor Gohar. You can find that website at Marzpor Gohar, marzporgohar.org. Again, Farhanpour represents just one of the many Iranian expatriate organizations with membership and contacts still within that country as well, who has his own particular take on what is going on in that country and what should be in regard to that nation. And again, as we as Americans and Westerners attempt to decipher all of this, it becomes abundantly clear that the Iranian political spectrum is a complicated one, And that as we continue to deal with that country and deal with all the controversy surrounding American neoconservative foreign policy as it relates to Iran, trying to understand that country and its culture and its history and its political spectrum is a very, very daunting task. And my purpose in having Ruzbeh Farhanpour on today is simply to continue with that task as far as really dealing with the diversity of political opinion that exists among Iranians and what it means for us in this country who are trying to figure things out over there. Not always an easy thing to do. Some would suggest an impossible thing to do, but nonetheless, we will give it a try, not only today, but ongoingly in the days ahead as we watch events, Iranian and American, as we continue to see that whole issue of that country coming up in regard to the foreign policy of the United States. And with all of these rumors floating about military action against that country, it's important that we stay on top of the ball in regard to trying to interpret these events for all of us as we try to piece together just what a strange situation all of this really presents. Back then to what we were talking about in an earlier juncture of the show, Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, the American editor of AlJazeera.info, has decided to go off the air, at least for a time, as it relates to his website publishing information about American wars in the Middle East and in regard to this whole question of the Arabs and Israel, and specifically the Palestinian Arabs and Israel. That is a real shame because I always found AlJazeera.info to be a most interesting source of news in regard to the things that would be posted there that would often be unavailable virtually anywhere else. And because of that, there are apparently some very powerful political forces that have been at work in the United States to have that website shut down. Dr. Hassan El-Najjar has a piece posted today at AlJazeera.info where he indicates that because of the intensity of this campaign against him, he has decided that he can no longer exercise his First Amendment rights in this country in regard to continuing to speak his mind on these subjects. What he says has happened since the 22nd of March has raised things to an entirely new level in that, according to Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, there has been a very, very serious attempt to target his employer in the United States for harassment as it relates to a letter-writing campaign that has been orchestrated throughout the state of Georgia. Let's keep an eye on this story. I have forwarded information on this to Mark Glenn of the American Free Press with a request that Mark look more deeply into this whole situation to see what he can share with the rest of us, both at AFP as well as with the Republic Broadcasting Network, in regard to the real meaning of what has happened to Dr. Hassan El-Najjar of AlJazeera.info. We will be watching that one in the days ahead. Suffice it to say that Dr. Hassan El-Najjar in recent times has given some coverage to what we have been doing at the Republic Broadcasting Network as it relates to the USS Liberty and what happened to the crew of that ship on June the 8th, 1967. Dr. Hassan El-Najjar was printing a lot of the URLs that we were publishing on this whole issue of the USS Liberty and what has happened in the 40 years since that tragic event in regard to a U.S. governmental cover-up of the truth in regard to Israel's central role in launching a premeditated, deliberate attack upon that American vessel. Interesting that in the same context and in the same time frame that AlJazeera.info was publishing that information in the United States, that suddenly Dr. Hassan El-Najjar found himself and his employer found himself in an entirely new level of official difficulty with forces that were at work trying to get that website off the air. Again, I've asked Mark Glenn of the American Free Press to take a look at this story. I believe he is acquainted with Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, so Mark, I'm sure, will be most interested to pursue that a little further and to share with you and to share with me in the days ahead precisely who and what appears to be behind this orchestrated attack against that publication and against its editor and against its editor's American employer. Back into this piece that Mark Glenn has given us in regard to what has happened to the Naturai Karta temple up in New York that was torched on March 31st. He talks about two organizations, the Jewish Defense League and the Jewish Defense Organization. Both organizations believe to have had something to do with this. In a recent JDO intelligence report, as Mark Glenn continues, the names, addresses, phone numbers, and other pieces of personal information concerning many Naturai Karta members were published along with suggestions, quote-unquote, by the JDO headquarters as to what actions should be taken with them. Codenamed Operation Screwball, the JDO has made it clear that their aim is to, quote, wreck and ruin these self-haters and Jewish traitors, unquote. Some of the mechanics involved in seeing this done are as follows. Call them. Keep them out of your shuls. Do not hire them to do any work. Toss them out of any store they come to. Throw them out of your synagogues. Boycott whatever companies they own. And ask any store they work at to have them fired from their jobs. Let's teach these traitors a real lesson about those who desecrate the memory of 6 million real live Jews butchered in the Holocaust. We must run Naturai Kartai out of their homes as well. The days of their antics going undisturbed have come to an abrupt end, as the JDO is going to cause them more disturbance than they ever imagined. Further, we demand the arrest of Naturai Karta members for collaboration with the Iranian Nazis and their extradition to Israel, using the Eichmann trial as a precedent. It should be remembered that, in addition to threats, whether overt or subtle, arson has been standard operating procedure for groups such as these in terrorizing their political opponents into silence. As of the time of this writing by Mark Glenn, however, no group or individual has come forward claiming responsibility for this latest incident. If this latest case involving the fire that destroyed the Naturai Karta synagogue is indeed one of arson, then it would not be the first time that Naturai Karta property was assaulted. In July of 2002, the same building, as well as two cars owned by the organization, were defaced with graffiti on the Jewish festival of Tisha B'Av, the day commemorating the destruction of the first temple in Jerusalem. In this case, the graffiti in question included Stars of David and Hebrew words glorifying Jerusalem as the Jewish state's eternal capital. More recent than this was the physical assault on Moshe R.A. Friedman of Naturai Karta by two Orthodox Jews in Poland, one Yehuda Meshi Zahav of Zaka, Z-A-K-A, a Jewish organization that coordinates relief efforts in the wake of terrorist incidents where the victims are Jewish, and another unnamed member who assailed Friedman with a barrage of punches and kicks. As a reward for his actions, Meshi Zahav was called up to read the Torah in synagogue on the following Sabbath. Rabbi David Israel Weiss, spokesman for Naturai Karta, said that arson is assumed, quote-unquote, because of previous threats the group has received. Quote, there's no question that the issue is to stifle the opposition to Zionism, unquote, he said. Naturai Karta is well known for its position on Israel, Zionism, and the other items swirling around the current Middle East situation. Their position is that Israel is not supposed to be reconstituted as a nation until the Messiah arrives, up until which time Jews are supposed to remain loyal citizens of the nations they presently occupy. Since Zionism's inception a century ago, there has been a continual and sometimes heated debate between groups who maintain positions similar to Naturai Karta and those Jews who take a more secular position. One thing is clear. If this latest incident is indeed a case of arson, then what it constitutes is terrorism, as the term is defined by that Zionist-engineered assault on the Bill of Rights known as the Patriot Act. Furthermore, by looking over the rantings and ravings of Jewish extremist groups such as the JDL and the JDO concerning those who choose to exercise their First Amendment rights by voicing their opinions, it is obvious that the U.S. government is wise to classify these organizations as dangerous and fanatical, and that the American citizen, jealous of his God-given rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, would be wise to see them in this light as well. That is Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and his post today entitled Domestic Hate Group, Anti-Zionist Temple Torched, JDL Arsonists Suspected of Terrorist Act in Muncie, New York. Keep an eye on that story, especially as it relates to other pieces of the puzzle that we keep finding in the press, both in the United States and outside of it, which suggest that there is a full range, a full spectrum of activities being conducted by some of these fanatical pro-Zionist groups that specifically target those who disagree with them. obviously these criminal acts in New York that Mark Glenn chronicles at the American Free Press are a part of that package. But it seems to me today that as we look at the AlJazeera.info story on Dr. Hassan El-Najjar and his decision to avoid any further commentary in the United States on this question of the Palestinian-Israeli situation in the context of the American war on terror in the Middle East, that something is going on that should not be going on in this nation. That Dr. Hassan El-Najjar story talks not only about personal intimidation, which has been going on in his case apparently for a very long period of time, but now his employer has been targeted, and targeted with a letter writing campaign that has apparently been orchestrated in the state of Georgia that is designed to keep that website from publishing information that is not being filtered through the corporate Zionist-controlled news media. And as I have already indicated, one of the things that AlJazeera.info was covering in recent days was the Republic Broadcasting Network coverage of the plight of the members of the crew of the USS Liberty, the victims of a deliberate, premeditated attack by Israel on June the 8th, 1967, and those same crew members of the USS Liberty discovering in the 40 years since that time that there was an ongoing systematic cover-up being conducted by the United States government of exactly what Israel's role was in the events of that day and why they did what they did. This continues to be a story that the U.S. government treats as a state secret. We need to unravel that story. And to the extent that we can possibly do it, we will continue from time to time to bring on guests from the USS Liberty to talk about their particular life story and then to relate that life story to the longer, to the larger whole as we examine American foreign policy in the Middle East, particularly since the time of Lyndon Johnson on forward, and how that foreign policy, mirrored by the American media's support of that foreign policy, has kept the truth about Israel and Zionism out of public purview. And as a part of that package, the whole story of the USS Liberty has been kept out of public purview. And then when you see a website like AlJazeera.info, Dr. Hassan El-Najjar's website in this country, as you see him posting information about what Breaking All the Rules news and what the Republic Broadcasting Network has been able to accomplish in its USS Liberty coverage, all of a sudden he has been forced off the air temporarily, we hope, by a very, very systematic personal campaign of persecution against him that now has escalated to a point where it is being directed against his employer. Again, I have asked Mark Glenn of the American Free Press to look into this story in greater detail. I understand that he knows Hassan El-Najjar. It will be interesting to see what Mark, over time, uncovers about this story, not simply in terms of any specifics that we can find out about who's behind it, but what it means in regard to free speech and the rule of law and your First Amendment rights and mine in the days ahead. In that regard, Bob Fisk has a story today at the Independent, the British Independent, entitled The True Story of Free Speech in America. It deals with the Sami Al-Arian case, which we have already covered on this show and will continue to cover. We had Nayla Al-Arian on this show in a past week to talk about the plight of her husband, who was acquitted of all of the charges that were brought against him by the USA Patriot Act prosecution. It culminated in December of 2005 in his acquittal on the charges that were placed against him for being allegedly involved in the support of terrorism and terroristic groups. Dr. Sami Al-Arian now continues to languish in federal detention in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. This is a story being covered in the current edition of the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs, the April 2007 edition. Go to your print newsstands at Borders and at Barnes & Noble and wherever else you can buy publications of this type. You will see the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs on your newsstand, and that April 2007 issue deals with this whole question of Sami Al-Arian. There's a very extensive list of articles there that specifically discuss what he and his family have been through. And in conjunction with what Mark Glenn tells us today from the American Free Press, in regard to the torching of this Naturae Carta temple up in Muncie, New York on March 31st. And in conjunction with what Bob Fisk underscores today at the British Independent about the Sami Al-Arian case, and now the whole situation with Dr. Hassan El-Najjar at AlJazeera.info in the United States, who has been forced off the air, at least temporarily, by a very concerted, concentrated campaign directed against not only Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, but now his employer. When you start putting all these different pieces of this media puzzle together, such as we know it, a very ominous picture emerges in that the civil rights and the political rights and the First Amendment rights of a significant number of people are presently being denied. Where is the corporate Zionist news media on all this? Nowhere to be found for all of the obvious reasons. But as we continue to examine these stories for you and to draw certain conclusions as to what these stories mean when considered in the composite, it does not paint a very good picture of the present state of free speech in America. And Robert Fisk's story today at the British Independent is well worth your time. He discusses the Sami Al-Arian story and indicates that this piece should be titled The True Story of Free Speech in America. When we come back, I want to take a look at a Houston Chronicle article about Carl Levin of Michigan, indicating that the Senate will keep paying for the war in Iraq. And then we'll have Ruzbeh Faranapour on at 8 o'clock. This is Mark Gankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Ruzbeh Haranipour of Mars Porgohar will be with us at right around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. That is an Iranian expatriate group, also with contacts in that country, that is opposed to the current regime in Iran and presumably to Iranian theocracy. And it has its own perspective as to what form of government it would choose for that people if given an opportunity. That will be what we will discuss with Ruzbeh Haranipour this morning at right around 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We've been talking about free speech. Free speech not in some third world country, but free speech right here in the United States. I have suggested that there are three stories today that when you look at them together, paint a very grim picture for us. One is Mark Glenn's piece at the American Free Press, which we have read in its entirety today, entitled Domestic Hate Group Strikes Again, Temple of Anti-Zionist Rabbi Weiss Torched, JDL Arsonists Suspected of Terrorist Act in Monsey, New York. Take a look at that story by Mark Glenn, and then look at Bob Fisk's piece today for the British Independent entitled The True Story of Free Speech in America, as Robert Fisk looks at the very tragic case of Dr. Sami Al-Aryan, which we have been covering here at RBN. Also, the third piece of this puzzle is the most disturbing story coming out of Dalton, Georgia, that AlJazeera.info has decided to temporarily suspend its internet outreach on the whole question of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the character of American wars in the Middle East. Dr. Hassan El-Najjar, who resides in Dalton, Georgia, has been the target of some very, very vitriolic attacks, personal attacks up to now. But those attacks have now included, apparently, a targeted letter-writing campaign being directed against his employer in Georgia. Who is behind this and why? Dr. Hassan El-Najjar lists one individual with his website at the bottom of the post that Hassan has today discussing this subject. I have forwarded this to Mark Glenn of the American Free Press for further examination. We are going to try and get to the bottom of who and what is behind this, and hopefully Mark will have more information on this in the days ahead. Although suffice it to say that when you look at the Fisk story and the Mark Glenn post on what happened up in Monsey, New York, as well as the latest with Dr. Hassan El-Najjar at AlJazeera.info, it paints a completely different picture of the state of free speech in this country from what we have supposed it to be, particularly when you start talking about issues Jewish and issues related to the Zionist state of Israel. Is that an accident? I don't think that it is. The Jerusalem Post, as I have already mentioned, has a story today discussing how Israel tops the world in its rate of malicious internet activity, at least on a percentage basis. Maybe that too figures into this larger story in regard to what happens to folks who choose to speak out on issues that are not the issues and not the positions that the government of Israel and the Zionist lobby in the United States want discussed. That can be, I think, the only conclusion that one can draw from all of this. Let's then take a brief look in the minute or two that we have before the break, if we even have that, about Carl Levin of Michigan, the United States Senator, who is the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He says that the Democrats will keep paying for the war. What then to make of the Democrats posing themselves back in November as the anti-war party? The fix is in, folks. We've been saying it all along, and here's more evidence of it. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to be back with Ruzbeh Haranipour of Mars Porgohar when we return. Stay tuned.